Hello, everybody. This is Dr. Fred. I am responsible. I am accountable. I am capable of assisting people to find their true voice and then deliver it effectively into the world around us. With 40 years in mental health, 32 of them as a psychiatrist, and then a massive amount of conversations, including podcasting and expert speaking, keynote speaking, I have the opportunity to really see the magic that it takes to find one's authentic self and then deliver it effectively into the world. And if you're like me, you can see that now more than ever, that's what's called for. So today is that day. Now is that time. Come forth. Join me in the broadcast. You'll see on the other side of this, a true voice with Dr. Fred.
All right. Hello, everyone. This is Sam Morris right here, and I am Fred Moss's frequent co-host on True Voice Podcast. Fred's running a few minutes late today, so I told him I would get started without him. So here we are. So there's a topic that has been top of mind that I was just discussing actually with my ex-wife just a few minutes ago. You know, she and I were on a phone call. We're still on very friendly terms. And we're talking about this subject of purpose. And this term purpose gets thrown around in our world a lot these days. And people are always talking about finding your purpose and knowing your purpose and this and that, how important it is. And, you know, life coaches in particular will market that they are here to help you to find your purpose. And, you know, it's become part of our cultural lingo. And something always bothers me a little bit about it. And part of what bothers me about it is that, first, how can we ever know our true purpose? I mean, that is such a, here we are, these infinite beings that are on this planet, flying around, literally on this biological rock, flying around outer space, in infinite space, having no idea where we came from, no idea where we're going to. And yet there's this sense of, oh, I need to find out how I belong. How do I belong? I think it's the perennial question. How do I belong in the greater context, in the greater matrix of human civilization at this particular time, in my particular family, with my particular job occupation, etc. Ah, here he is, Dr. Fred Moss, everyone. Fred has just joined us. Great to see you, buddy. You're for some reason, we can't hear your audio. I don't know what's going on there. I see it going green as though it should be coming through. But
how about now? You should be able to hear.
There we go. Now I hear you.
Yeah.
Let me see. All right.
Okay, you should be hearing it now.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Fred Moss. Great.
What's happening, man? You been holding down the fort?
I'm holding down the fort. Yeah, so I was just talking with my ex-wife. Keeping up with the Harley Davidson look, says TJ. And yes, I agree. I think it's awesome. I was just talking with my ex-wife, and she and I are on friendly terms, and we're having this discussion around this whole topic of purpose, which is, it's like every day, I don't know, maybe you have to be in the coaching personal development world to hear this word every single fucking day, but I hear it not only every day, probably 100 times a day easily, people talking about their purpose. And you know, before, yeah, 5 years ago, I hardly ever heard people talking about purpose. It was kind of like, whatever, you know, it wasn't part of the cultural zeitgeist to be discussing one's purpose all the time. And I was just saying, you know, first of all, we are these entities that are somehow walking, or in my case, rolling this biological rock out in the middle of infinite space with no fucking idea where we came from and no fucking idea where we are going to, and conceivably infinite in our potential and completely dynamic in terms of what the potential is for our minds and bodies to go in any given situation. And yet we seem to have this longing to create some kind of a context out of our lives that will indicate why we're here, because it seems like otherwise we feel, I think there's this easy sort of easy slippery slope into a kind of a nihilistic way of perceiving oneself, or alternatively, an easy slippery slope into some type of dogmatic belief system. And I think that in the past, these dogmatic belief systems have sort of governed the way in which we have perceived ourselves and our relationship with our lives and our nation and that kind of thing. But in this day and age, things are shifting. People aren't as likely to be nationalists in terms of their thinking. And people aren't as willing to fall into some sort of preconceived dogma based on an ancient text that should indicate who they are or what they are. And so people are looking for meaning and trying to avoid a nihilistic type of outlook. And instead, that whole notion of purpose seems to have been co-opted by a very consumerist kind of capitalistic model, which would indicate that the utility of what we do in the world seems to be consistent with our purpose, which I caution against, because we are dynamic. We are ever changing. We are not some static caricature of ourselves that can be defined by some single elevator pitch and put on a website or a social media profile and stuck to forever and ever. I have a sense for what I do in the world, but even right now, I have no idea how you are perceiving me, or I might have some idea, but I hope to not have that much of an idea of how you're perceiving me. That would be a stretch to have a real idea. And so my purpose in this conversation to you is completely different from what I might say my purpose is in terms of what I think that I have to add as value to your life. And so in this particular moment, I am being purposed by the universe in a way that you are perceiving your experience of, which is completely different from my experience. And you are being purposed almost as a verb to me. And we are having this dynamic interaction. And if anyone is listening to this and listening to this long ass monologue that I'm giving right now, to each one of them, they are having their own particular experience, which is completely unique to their own lives. Mm-hmm. So how can any of us say, well, this is my purpose? Who the fuck knows? It's always ever changing. It's like throwing sand out into the ocean and saying, you know, and knowing where it lands. So love your thoughts.
Well, yeah, this, I was just in a car ride with my wife for the last hour and a half, and we were talking about the nature of reality. And I was in the meantime, I was multitasking on my phone, and we nearly ran out of gas, and I had to get a gas station. That's why I'm late, is because we had to choose between running out of gas and being here. And so while she was doing that, I was thinking, you know, it's kind of good that this car ride is coming to an end, because I'm kind of tired about talking, you know, about something so deep as like perceived reality, because that's what we've been doing.
We were talking about the Giants in this call today.
Yeah, so no, it's just another extension of this. And you know, really, I just want to It's almost like, yeah, that's a very good point. I have no clue whatsoever about reality. That's what I learned in the car ride. Not even close. And I'm kind of happy with that. Like, I'm kind of like, I reached a point where I could get that I don't know anything, including that I don't know anything. I don't even know that I don't know anything. I don't even know anything about
that's
whether
as close
or not
to a true voice as I would ever wish for, to have someone like you admit that you know that you don't know anything.
I mean, even know that I don't know is the whole point. I don't even know that I don't know.
Right, right.
I may say I know that I don't know, but that's only serving me the purpose of knowing something, which is that I don't know. But what if I don't even know that I don't know, you know?
There you go. Good question.
And then if I don't know the stuff that I don't know that I don't know, now we're really getting outrageous. So I was hoping to come here and just kind of chill into like a conversation about, you know, I don't know, the Giants or something.
Yeah.
You know, like just like, you know, like next year's draft pick and stuff. And so not only do I walk in late, still multitasking and my sound isn't working well, but then I got to roll into this conversation of, dude, we don't have a purpose, and anyone who thinks they have a purpose is like full of shit entirely. And for sure, me thinking I have a purpose has nothing to do with what purpose that's really landing over there as I try to put together a purpose.
You know, I think the people who are trying to put together their purpose, they should, for one thing, they need just to get their heads out of their ass a little bit.
Right.
That's step one, is take your head out of your ass.
Yeah, there you go.
Step two is stop trying to create a conceptual framework for understanding the infinite nature of reality as it exists in your subjective lens.
Yeah.
Step three is
put your head back in your ass. I think that would
put your head back in your ass.
I think that's the 1-2-3 punch here. Yeah,
exactly.
I think that's what we got going on. It's just an ABC way to live.
ABC. A,
yeah.
Take your head out of your ass. B, stop trying to create some type of conceptual framework for the reality as you experiencing it through your subjective lens. C, put your head back in your ass.
And then and then, you know, do it all day long. Do those three things as often.
Do those three things all day long. All day long. Yep.
I think this podcast, we may have really just reached, you know, they look for the reality and then purpose, like what, grand purpose, a grand purpose in the world. And we're getting pretty close to it right here.
That sounds about like it. Absolutely. So, yeah, I mean, interestingly enough, to go on with the conversation that I was having with my ex-wife, we started talking about the difference between purpose as it is currently used in this modern parlance in our culture, and the notion of dharma, which I believe has some real validity to it. There's the dharma, in other words, for those who are unfamiliar with the term, meaning an experience that is specific to the soul in terms of what you are here to experience and what you're here to bring through to the world in this particular lifetime. But who knows? Even that could be complete bullshit. No one really examined that, did they? I mean, people are giving a lot of credibility to this whole Buddha guy who apparently came up with all these great ideas. But maybe this is just a lot of spiritual masturbation that's been going on for 2,500 years just to keep people busy and feel like they're sane in an insane world. What do you think?
Well, you know, this dharma thing, you know, this is what did Buddha do after all? How did he get to where he got to? Here's what he did. He sat on that ass that most of us have our heads up. And he took his head out of his ass. Right. And then he sat there. He actually sat with his head out of his ass for a number of days. How many days was it, Sam?
You know, the funny thing about Buddha that a lot of people don't realize is, and you probably know this, but, you know, they think, well, he went all through all of this intense suffering and putting himself to the test and not eating and becoming frail and nearly dying and all of this stuff. And then, but it's the really the last point that matters. The last thing that he did was he's like, you know, fuck it. Why am I doing all this shit? And that is when he became enlightened.
Yeah.
It wasn't because of all the suffering that he was putting himself through. It was when he said, what the fuck am I doing? Right. That was when he became enlightened.
Right. So what do you have as the next steps after he asked himself what the fuck he's doing?
He woke up and that was it. And he was like, you know what? I'm good now. and all this shit that I was putting myself through was completely unnecessary. I could have been eating steaks the whole time. I could have been banging all the princesses in my kingdom. He could have been approaching it a whole different way.
Yo.
Yeah.
All his friends.
Yeah.
All his friends.
Yeah. He could have been having a good time rather than putting himself all through all this treacherous suffering. So.
Yeah. A lot of people don't know that. A lot of people don't know that about the Holy One. Yeah. A lot of people don't.
Yeah, they think it was because of all the discipline that he put in, but it was actually when he decided, you know what, this is bullshit. Mm-hmm. That was when he became enlightened.
That's very interesting. I actually didn't know that that was the day that it happened. Do we know what day of the month or anything? Is it a day to celebrate, like maybe blow off fireworks or something?
Well, if the Buddha was Mexican, they would be blowing. It would be doing fireworks every day in his honor, because you know Mexicans
right?
like fireworks. Yeah,
I didn't even know that. It's a Mexican thing. They like fireworks.
I have a friend who's living down in Mexico right now, and he says the town that he was living in, they have a celebration every single day for the most part, like fireworks. There's always something to celebrate.
Wow,
a little loud.
Yeah,
you know, maybe for in comparison to what we're accustomed to, and there, I think there's particular villages where there's more celebrations than others. But
is
there a tequila involved in your world tonight, Fred?
Not at this point. There's still the night's young. I'm going.
Should we be drinking? That's my question.
Well, I'm going to actually, my friend Anders, he's coming by right after the show, and we're going off to the California Organics, a nice little place to kick it with. And I think they might serve alcohol there, but we're having sushi on the raw, and
organic sushi.
I don't know if it's, I don't think there, I don't know.
Is there such a thing? I've never heard of organic sushi.
No, man.
I think sushi these days is like, it's got microplastic sushi. That's what
microplastics
are into these days.
Yeah.
Yeah. If it's sushi infused, it's like tuna infused with microplastics. Good shit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I don't know anything about this.
Yeah.
I know that.
You know that you don't know that you don't know that you do.
I don't know very much. And I know that what I don't know is that. Oh, wow. This is super cool. 237-207 is super awesome number. If you're going to play the lottery and there's a 6-digit, you should go with that. 237-207.
Where did that come out of?
Well, for the last 45 minutes, part of this multitasking that I've been whining about, it has to do with getting my folks into my GoDaddy account, because there's a couple people going haywire because they need to fuck with my GoDaddy account. There's people out there who are supposedly like clearing my slate so that I can actually be organized enough to make proper next steps. And there's two people for the last hour who've been like really waiting for those 6 digits to show up, like, and have ran it by my phone like 12 times, and I've been unable to deliver to them. So I asked them to do it a different way just moments ago while I was actually pretending to listen to you. And I wouldn't have understood you anyways. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, totally. No, I got
you, that. You understand it, right? I mean, I'm just, yeah. You know, my,
I'm a space holder. That's what I'm here There's to do.
Pretty much. But I even sometimes when you talk, you're just over everybody's head, and we just, you know, humor you by telling you you're brilliant.
If I'm over people's heads, then that is an indication that I am not brilliant, actually. That's an indication that I'm so unself-aware that I'm making no sense.
That could be.
And so I'm adding zero value to the discussion. So how brilliant is that? Mm-hmm. Not very brilliant.
Yeah. What did I just hear about? Self-awareness, self-management, empathy, and this is from like emotional intelligence. This is from emotional intelligence. Self-aware, self-management, empathy, and then social skills.
Mm.
Like those are the things, those are the four components. I am very impressed with me remembering four things.
Yeah, well done.
I feel tired now already. I feel like it's a post, you know, like it's after a med school final or something. Like, whoa.
For anyone who wants to come in and spice up this conversation, the number is 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. You can add your little bit of wisdom, nonsense, genius, or whatever you wish to this conversation, and we'll be happy to talk to you.
Sam, here's what I'm thinking, and maybe our audience can help us. And I'm going to throw it your way because we haven't really had this particular discussion directly, but I really like this. You know, this podcast is not yet, I mean, even last podcast and the one before that, are not yet published properly. You know, they're sitting in our archives. We have a number of them. We have 20 to 40 podcasts between me and you. We're rolling close, somewhere in the middle. I'd say that, I guess that number would be around 30. And if someone could get their mitts on it and actually go through this and, you know, edit it and then put the clip art on there and put the, you know, the timestamps and maybe put some music to it. Although we do have some killer music. We have some killer music, man. We worked hard to get to this place where we now have killer music. So the uncle pulled this shit off for our guy, TJ's uncle. So
if someone is willing to deal with the type of psychological pain that would be required in order to go through Fred Moss and my discussion and sit through hours of it for very little pay and splice it up and turn it into something without killing themselves.
Right.
We're game to talk to you.
Right. And well, I think there might be people like that. And all we would have to do is offer them some percentage of our earnings on the backside of these conversations. Like, you know,
because we earn so goddamn much.
In the end, it's going to be
I check my bank balance every time we get off.
It's another comma. It's like, these commas keep showing up.
More digits? What? Get out of here. Get out of here.
Yeah, my bank balance. I have to scroll just to get to the second half of my number on the top of my account, you know? Because they only show like 11 numbers. And I'm like, hello, where's the decimal point? And I got to go into the second page for the decimal point. Yeah.
I get it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we need somebody to post-produce and really create this wizard and warrior, or, you know, because I think we have pretty interesting conversations most days up until today.
Yeah. Today's been a shit show.
Kind of a dud so far. Mm-hmm. And that's why we're going to go to a commercial. So let's just put a fucking block here. Now let's come back and kick some ass. Let's zero it in, come back and smoke the shit out of the next one.
Or stick our heads back in our ass.
Well, we could do that. Let's do that on break. And then, you know, set the timer and make sure you're listening, that your ears don't get too covered with your head and your ass, and that you can hear the alarm. And then we'll catch you in about a minute and a half.
Sounds good to me.
All right. Commercial time. Check this music out. Ooh, yeah. Boom! Hello, everybody. It's Dr. Fred again. I wanted to explain to you a little bit about one of the names I have called the Undoctor. What is the Undoctor? Well, after about 15 years in the field of me being misaligned with what I was doing, because I was medicating people even knowing that medications were not the right answer, and I was diagnosing people even though I didn't always believe that they had the diagnosis that I said that they had, even though they did meet the criteria, etc., I like seeing humans for exactly who they are and who they're not, and not as a diagnosis. So in 2006, I began the process of becoming the Undoctor. I unmedicated, undiagnosed, and then undoctrinated a bunch of people. Like, people no longer had to come to a psychiatrist because their condition's cleared. This isn't true for everyone. It may not be true for you, but for some folks who know that their diagnosis doesn't fit and who know that they don't want to keep going through with medications and don't want to be seen as someone who's defective or afflicted, this turned out to be a great intervention. Over time, I stopped doing that, and I no longer do a whole lot of conventional psychiatry. Now I just help people walk through their life and find their true voice. I connect with people straight up, not as if there's a power gradient between a doctor and a patient, but as two humans connecting and resonating with each other. As it turns out, that's where all healing emanates from. So today, I've developed the Welcome to Humanity brand over the last 6 or 7 years, and that really takes into consideration all of this. It is self-explanatory. Basically, each and every experience that we have with humanity is just as exquisite as another, even if it's deeply uncomfortable. From there, we get to actually share these human experiences. From there, we get to resonate and connect, and from there, healing takes place. I also have been helping people with their true voice, and that's why you're here today at True Voice with Dr. Fred. I help people find that true voice, really their authentic self, their core value system, and then deliver it effectively into a world that is eagerly awaiting to hear you. Without your voice, no one will ever hear you. And without your true voice, no one will ever know you. But with your true voice, you can find healing, peace, and love. True voice is what it takes to end all wars. So, welcome to True Voice with Dr. Fred.
All right.
Well, there was a little glitch there. As my head was popping out of my sphincter, I heard a glitch, and I wasn't sure if it was a function of the sphincter or if it was actually in the technology.
I think that's just because by that time we had heard so many of your personal brands that it just exploded. The world actually just exploded. We heard True Voice. We heard Welcome to Humanity. We heard Global Madness. We heard the Undoctor. And I think it just everything.
Healing
just
the came, healer. Here's that's coming too.
When we're healing the world, like, I think everything just imploded.
The vocal poet. The
vocal
wizard.
The wizard. Yeah. It's so many pseudonyms that the internet shut down for a moment.
Well, that's the thing. That's it. Yeah. Even Dr. Fred is a pseudonym.
So for anyone who's wondering, it's all the same guy. And he's a badass, and he's powerful, and he can serve you powerfully, just in case you're wondering.
You know, it turns out I'm really loving Healing the Healer. You and I have talked about this a little bit, and I'm really liking that one, but the truth is I'm liking all of them. They're all good. They all came at the proper times. They got their names in the right way. I'm loving the Undoctor as well. You know, the Undoctor is a super cool thing. You know what? But here's the thing. I'm going to say something about the Undoctor. The other day I was on my clubhouse, you know, and I was chilling in my room, and this dude pops in, and I had a compelling title like Ending Mental Illness in 3 Sessions or something. And I was going to talk to him about mental illness being a conversation. I can do it in 3 sessions. For those of you that listen, I know it sounds weird, but it sounds so weird that I can't even really advertise it. So, you know, it's like, well, I could do it in 3 sessions, but I should really say that it's going to take me 6 sessions. Because if I do say I'm going to do it in 3 sessions, people are going to be like, no, you're not. I'm not even coming near you. But at 6 sessions, people could be like, I guess I could see that. So they would pay me for 6 sessions, even if I'm only need about 2 or 3. So I had this conversation. My friend Diana Jordan, she happened to pop in the room at the same time. Maybe it was on LinkedIn, actually. And I have this conversation, and I get this dude off his meds right on the phone. right on the phone, man. He's like, you know what? I don't have bipolar and I don't need to shit, take the shit. It was easy and fast and he was ready for it.
Did you talk to him 12 hours later after he flushed his meds down the toilet?
Well, you know, what he did do is he hired me for a month right there.
Okay.
And then the next day he told me he didn't need to hire me because he's done. He just did everything he needed to do.
Was this a manic episode?
Well, that's what he was wondering too. So I told him that, you know, if you show up at your psychiatrist's office now telling him that you're done after one meeting, well, all he's going to do is either increase, add, or change your medicines. So you're kind of up a creek at this point.
Yeah, you know? So how did that go?
The dude is my best friend now. I walked him off the ledge, and today he was on a podcast on Mankind Project internationally and spent the last quarter of that podcast talking about my brilliance.
I thought you were going to say he was living in your basement.
No, not quite there. No,
no,
not quite there. He's talking about Creative 8. He read Creative 8. He read parts of it aloud in the podcast. And that's apparently great. it fell on waiting and happy ears. So you never know, Sam. You never know when a failed sale is actually going to rock your world, because I'm going to look at my bank book tomorrow. It's going to be another comma, all because of this dude.
All because of this dude. Yeah. And so how do you scale the healing of mental illness through natural means? What are your thoughts on this? How is that done at scale? Well, when it takes someone with the type of mental and emotional acuity that you possess.
Mm-hmm. So it is not a matter of brilliance in any real way. This is a matter of reductionism, and really goes to a lot what Alexandra was talking to me about on the way in, and what you and I were talking about on the way in, which is, this whole notion of mental illness is such a foggy concept in the first place. Now, of course, our audience might want to hear that this is our second time around on this conversation in the last 36 hours.
That's true.
And you could almost say that it's our third time around, but we won't even include that third time because it wasn't quite about this. But it most certainly is our second time around in public on this particular topic.
That is true.
And so the thing is that if we don't know shit about anything, then one thing we can know for sure, like you just said, is that if you're speaking over everyone's head because you're so unself-aware, because you don't, and therefore you're normal because you're different and we're all different or some shit like that, then, you know, we could call you mentally ill for speaking over people's heads. We could. It is a function of the beholder, however, to call you mentally ill. It has nothing to do with whether you're mentally ill. And the only way that you then become mentally ill is if you agree when the beholder says you're mentally ill. You go, yep, I am. Now we've got a reality because we've got an agreement. I, as a doctor, say you, Sam, have, you know, the blip. You got the blip disease, blip syndrome.
Right.
And now you're like, cool, man. That explains everything.
It's harder to identify when I'm just kind of intellectually speaking in ways that no one understands, though. It can be a little bit more challenging to diagnose. Whereas if I started masturbating in public while I was doing it, then it could be a little bit more clear that I actually have a mental illness.
It's not clear that you're not masturbating right this very moment, Sam.
Yeah, I could be. Yeah.
You could be.
There's no reason to think that you're not. We're only seeing my top half, and I could be very subtle with my strokes.
And the truth is, you kind of are masturbating, at least intellectually. There's no question about true. That.
That's a good point. You just called me out. Appreciate it.
Yeah, that's all that's happening. Oh my god, is there room for another commercial? Because we still got 24 minutes left and we got to dig ourselves out of this little hole now. Okay, so there's always our regular exit. We can always roll with, like, what about those Giants? We can go there. Oh, did you see the Michigan-Ohio State results this weekend? Oh my goodness. So Michigan beat Ohio State in Columbus, Ohio this weekend.
Oh, shit.
And, dude, I don't remember that ever happening. Like, Michigan is now ranked number 2 in the country. And, you know, being a Michigan fan is not an easy ride for, you know, it's not. They're always in the top 10. They lose some important game during the year. And, you know, there's a game next week against Purdue. And it's for the championship, you know. And Purdue sucks. Like Purdue sucks. It's not even good. I mean, this game, however, here's what I think about that game. It's being played in Indianapolis, which is kind of unfortunate because that's like in the backyard of Purdue. But Purdue's lost four games already, and Michigan hasn't lost a game. And I, you know, this would be like the ultimate Michigan loss of all time, would be to beat Ohio State this year, go into that championship game at 11-0, rank number two in the country, and then just like barf it up against Purdue.
Wow, wow!
So and you got to watch with a third eye on.
There's a glitch in the matrix going on here, huh,
dude? If that happens, I'm not showing up. I will not be on this podcast next week if Michigan loses to Purdue.
Okay, good to know. It's just me, huh?
Well, I don't know.
All right.
I don't think I'll have enough time to recover. Because what are we talking? We say Saturday afternoon, Sunday, Monday. It's only 3.5 days.
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah, you might be in a ditch somewhere.
Yeah. No, I'll be mentally ill.
Yeah. Yeah.
By that time.
Mentally ill and in a ditch.
And in a ditch. And probably, yeah, substance-induced mental illness.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-mm. I'm hoping that doesn't happen. I don't have that much more to say this evening. One thing I want to talk about, though, is this idea of reality and purpose. And then putting together college football with it.
Mm.
Can you create a triangle that includes the insanity that comes with being a fan, like a rabid fan of a college team? You heard our friend Sean, last week's guest. You heard him talking on Saturday. The thing that he was looking forward to most in this year. And he got all expletive talking about the USC-UCLA game and how it better go because he's waiting because it's the most important thing of his life. This is a dude who's struggling with some of life's greatest challenges. And when he looks at his week, he says that the next most important thing that's going to happen to him is a game between two like college football teams. That seems semi-maniacal in its own right. Can you help me understand this? What is the mob mentality that we're so accustomed to? Is it like the essence of like legal racism or nationalism or... What is happening here with all this?
Yeah, no, I appreciate the question. And I think that I probably don't have a particularly unique vantage point on this. I think it would probably be something like,
is that a football player over your left shoulder? Oh no, that's Buddha. I thought that was one of those bobblehead.
Yeah, right. Probably be along the lines of what some evolutionary psychologists might theorize, that it's really about the celebration of physical power and prowess, because it's a representation of how powerful the tribe is to defeat other tribes, competing tribes, and that alone creates a sense of meaning and connection, that once if you can identify with the tribe that is most likely to outcompete the other tribe, then you're most likely to survive the conflict. And so that is one of the greatest things to celebrate. And I think it's as ancient in our DNA as being human beings who have experienced conflict is.
Interesting. So when we look at the gladiator wars, or we go back a little ways, you know, whatever might have even been happening before civilization, when teams were created, and then teams, competing teams or adversarial teams, like the, you know, A versus B, or the red versus the blue, or the south side versus the north side, or the Buckeyes versus the Wolverines. Like, it seems to me that the roots of nationalism and racism are endorsed and condoned in those activities. That, like, you're allowed to hate people who you declare are different than you, or a group of people who are really not that different, but you're calling them different.
Yeah, I think that on the one hand, there's some truth to that, but I also think that on the other hand, if you look at the two things that have created the most racial integration in our culture, sports and music, Those two things have created more of a sense of togetherness and unity than any other forms or disciplines. Sports and music. They are more integrated in there is as integrated as most college campuses are, probably more so. Probably, I would imagine that there's more integration that exists in sports and music than you would probably find in a in larger communities in anywhere. I mean, I'm only guessing, but you know, it was through, if you look at the history of rock and roll in our country, we had Elvis imitating black musicians.
Yeah.
And that was, at that time, the environment was so racially heated that he was arrested for moving in ways that were imitative of black musicians. And yet he and some of the other white musicians from that era, and the British invasion, the British musicians who listened to blues music and then brought our music back over to our country through the Beatles and the Rolling Stones, et cetera, Jimi Hendrix, even though Jimmy was born in Seattle, but went to London, then came back. It was through our own, the integration of music between white people and black people that brought us a common thing that we could enjoy together. And the same thing with sports. We celebrate, you know, white people celebrate black athletes. Black people celebrate white athletes. So on the one hand, yeah, it reinforces this kind of tribalism. But on the other hand, I think it's actually, in many respects, one of the greatest ways in which we have created integration in our culture.
Pretty interesting. I wonder if...
By the way, I probably said about a dozen things that someone will cancel me for based on what I've said.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog, you're crying all the time. You ain't nothing but a hound dog, crying all the time. Well, you ain't never caught a rabbit and you ain't no friend of mine. Well, they said you was high class. Well, that was just a lie. Yeah, they said you was high.
Yeah. I mean, everything good about modern music was influenced by black culture. If we had stuck with what we were accustomed to with white music, we'd have polka now or some shit like that, you know, or some, we'd still be playing classical music and polka and maybe some sort of folk. I wish I knew more about the but even folk music, I think, largely has its roots in African culture as well. And then again, you know, it also comes from Scottish folk and so forth.
So this Johnny B. Goode, you know, before Hound Dog, and the eras cross into each other there, and we could go with, there's others, you know, B.B. King or Little Richard, or that just precede Elvis by a little bit. Who else are some of the influences for Elvis who then takes it into, see, I could argue that the integration here might, you're kind of seeing it from a vantage point that might not be, confirmed from every vantage point. For instance, there's not that many white basketball players, nor is there that many black basketball owners.
But, hey, there are a lot of white basketball fans, of black basketball players.
There is a lot
of white... If you think about the fans and the players, that's a that is You know, if you're a white fan, you want your black basketball player to do well playing basketball. You are in complete support. Not only that, you might be treating them as heroes in your life. Mm-hmm. You know, how many white people treat Kobe Bryant or LeBron James as an absolute hero? Not just another human being, but a hero.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How many white people treat Jimi Hendrix as a hero? I know I do. You know, it's like a deification on some level. It's not just you are another human being. It's like you are a practically a deity sort of thing. And that's a very interesting thing that who knows, that may be, I don't know enough about history, but that may be somewhat unique to this particular American civilization or Western civilization over the past 100 years, that the integration of races, not only was there an acceptance, but almost a hero worship and deification of certain people within other races.
It is very interesting. It's a thing, this difference, you know, I'm just struck by the strict line of difference. There's the us and them that is so distinctive in these areas. There's them, the musicians, or them, the, I don't know, the white rockers, you know, or the black blues players, or the black basketball players, or the white hockey players. There's a perception that it is, what, you know, is that it's unifying and has done good things for racial relationships, maybe, but it might not be. It might, I don't, I'm not positive about all that. I'm not. I mean, it's kind of still the distinction. There's not that many riots inside of arenas. That's true, here and there. But is it really integrated, is what I'm asking.
All right. So let's imagine a hypothetical. Let's go back to the mid-1950s.
Yeah.
And imagine that rather than integration happening with sports teams and music, we had maintained sort of a segregated culture where there were distinct categories and what would that world be like now? I mean, I'm willing to explore any sort of hypothetical, but I firmly believe that those disciplines have created more of a common human experience in our culture than we would have been able to achieve otherwise.
I think I hear that. Yeah. Yeah. If we're going to talk about anything, like sometimes, I mean, the truth is, and this seems, when I think about it, it seems really like almost embarrassingly in granular, is that if I meet someone of color, it's very possible that one of the early topics will be about either sports or music. That I can kind of bridge the gap that might be there otherwise by talking about that topic, knowing that we both probably have some interest in one or two of those topics. I think that's true. It's like an icebreaker.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about your musical DNA in terms of what you are most connected to, almost all of it has its roots in African American culture.
Yeah.
You know, it's like there would be no Rolling Stones without Black Americans. There would be no Led Zeppelin without Black Americans.
Yeah.
The vast majority of modern music would be non-existent without the influence of Black America. And so I imagine the absolute sort of cultural To me, I imagine this kind of cultural dehydration, or I'm trying to think of the right word to describe it, like a desert of spontaneous, fun, exciting energy. Because the white culture, as it was moving pre-integration, was pretty damn stiff.
Yeah.
Was pretty damn stiff.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's important to recognize just how much has changed since the integration that happened mid 20th century, and what a totally different world we live in as a result.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, is there a way to pull this all together so that we can use either music or sports or purpose or reality or
no goddamn way. Mm. Not a goddamn way we're going to pull this together.
We're not going to. Not in this.
No. But it's been a good conversation.
Right.
But we were speaking to this topic of meaning, though, and reality and meaning and the things that create meaning in our lives and purpose in our lives. And, while we can't define what that is, it is a constantly dynamic experience, and it certainly should be. I don't think anyone can clearly define who they are or what they are here to do. But we certainly can see the meaning that is created through music, sports, and one of the things that we didn't mention that is so powerful about these disciplines is they don't really, it's not mind first, it's energy first, it's body and vibration first, which I think is more of a more primitive and connected language than intellectual discourse.
Yeah. Well, Sam, this is a great discussion again this evening. I'm wondering if you want to tell our audience how they might find you.
No goddamn way. I don't want to be found.
Yeah.
No. Sam at zenwarriortraining.com. Just email him. Yeah. Have to talk.
All right. Yeah. There's lots that Sam has to offer. He's getting better with age, actually. You can find me at Dr. Fred at welcometohumanity.net. I got about 10 brands, so I'm trying to whittle it down to like one or two now. If you want to help me with that, you just give me an email shout and let me know which brand works. I think maybe the Undoctor Healing the Healer. But, there is Global Madness, Welcome to Humanity, True Boys.
Each one represents a different aspect of Fred's schizophrenic personality.
Schizophrenic personality. Yeah. And the Buddha, you say goodnight to the Buddha. Who Buddha. Really, we learned that the Buddha got his shit together when he decided that it was bullshit what he'd been taking on for his life. A lot of people don't know that about the Buddha. It was the moment that he declared, that he declared bullshit.
The moment that he said, fuck it.
Fuck it, dude.
I'm taking this shit way too seriously.
I'm taking this shit way too seriously. All right. Well, we're going to close at this time and we're going to leave room for the next team. And frankly, I'm looking forward to my dinner and I'm looking forward to, how's your gene keys coming? Your gene keys.
Rocking and rolling, Fred.
What number
rocking and rolling.
What number are you?
Six this week.
You're six.
That means nothing to anyone who happens to be listening to this, but yeah.
Well, I think six is a good one. I think that's where I started. Well, enjoy yourself. Have a great time. And we'll catch y'all on next week, next Tuesday, unless, of course, Michigan gets beat by the Boilermakers, in which case.
And you end up in a ditch somewhere.
Bye for now. Hello, everybody, and I just wanted to thank you for getting through another episode of True Voice with Dr. Fred. Wasn't that great? It is so much fun to interact with people and then interact with my listenership about really finding True Voice and then bringing it forward. I really have never done anything more important than this, and I'm finally aligned with myself by helping others find their True Voice. Let's find your alignment.
What do you really want in your life?